Exciting topic. I don't need to do any proper introduction. Just game development should just sell itself. So thank you, Radomir, for presenting. And with you, thank you.
Okay. And I'm going to talk about you about, you know, being a full-stack developer, a full-stack game developer, where you start by making your hardware and then you also make the games. So why CircuitPython? What is CircuitPython? CircuitPython is a fork of MicroPython. MicroPython is a special subset of Python that runs on microcontrollers. What are microcontrollers? Those are those tiny chips that basically are whole computers that you can find in your watch, in your alarm clock, in your coffee machine, practically everywhere. Those are very cheap. Usually they are very limited. And until recently, they were mostly programmed in assembly or in C. And until MicroPython came along, that lets you run your, well, run Python code on them, more or less. And then CircuitPython came along, which is a version of MicroPython that is more geared toward beginners. The difference is MicroPython was originally developed for industrial use and for professional use, and it tries to squeeze as much as possible from the hardware on which it runs, which makes it sometimes difficult to understand. And CircuitPython was forked from MicroPython by the Adafruit. That's a US company that sells those Arduino-like electronic things. And they wanted for people to be able to program them easily with Python. So they focused on ease of use and on simplicity instead of you know, giving you access to everything that there is. However, the project itself is a community project. It's an open source project, and it's actually much easier to get your code merged into CircuitPython than it is into MicroPython, which is one reason why I chose it. Another one is, of course, I'm mostly teaching with those devices, so I want something that is easier to teach. I'm going to talk to you about two game libraries in particular, and two families of devices that come with them. Those are the libraries I wrote myself, so that's why I was biased when I picked them. There is also a third library you can use in CircuitPython, the one that is default for all graphics in there, called Display.io. And that library is a little bit lower than the libraries I'm showing. That's why I prefer to use the libraries, the PewPew and the Stage library, because they are dedicated to making games, and they have their limitations. They are much less versatile than Display.io, but they are a bit faster, so you can make the games nicer. So we will start with PewPew. PewPew came from a particular need. I needed something. Well, I was running workshops for people, teaching people Python by programming games. But if you ever tried to write a computer game with Python, you probably tried it with Pygame. And, you know, first you need to install Python. Everybody, like, you have 20 people coming to your workshop with different laptops. That one has Windows XP, that one has Windows 11, that one has the newest version of the MacBook that doesn't work with anything and can't even connect USB to it. you spend half an hour of your workshop just installing things. And once you finish with the workshop and everybody has written their game, they can't even send that game to a friend to show them, hey, I wrote a game, you can play it. Because then the friend has to install everything on their computer just to try it, right? So that's not Perfect. So I came up with the idea of what if I had a game console that you just connect to your computer. Let me show it. Close. So you have something like this. It was not Informatica, that's for a Polish conference. But I made a lot of versions. If you were to battle 2 years ago, 3 years ago, in EuroPython conference, you probably have this as a badge. That's also a pew-pew device. So the idea is you connect the thing to your computer using USB cable, and it comes up as a USB drive. And you can see all the files in here, and you can just use any text editor to edit. And as soon as you save, it restarts. So it's very fast to try things. You just write some code, save it, and see what happens. Try code, save it, see what happens. You don't have to install anything on your computer. That's very convenient. The problem is with those devices that only have LEDs for display, you can't see the error messages. So it's actually recommended to have a serial terminal program installed to have access to the serial console so you can see the errors in your code. But that doesn't apply to the ones that have a display because they will display the error on the screen. So that doesn't have to be this way. So this those pew-pew devices also were designed to be as cheap as possible. That's why they don't even have a display. They have a LED matrix. And the latest version doesn't even have buttons. It has touch buttons. And even the battery holder is made out of a PCB. So I managed to get them below $10 a piece this way. So when you are doing workshops and you need, you know, 20 of them, you can easily, pretty easily get that and let people take them with them home. Okay. I'm planning to do live coding to show you how easy it is, but I want to do it on the more advanced device. Let me just connect the USB here. So that's all about PewPew. You can of course you can find it on Read the Docs. The documentation is all there. And the like usage page, the documentation for the library itself that you use is one page of A4. So it's really not that much to read. And there are a lot of games, like examples that you can base your own games on. There is, of course, Snake. There is Tetris. There is Sokoban. There is Reversi. That wasn't even written by me. But we have a community of people. Christian Walter even wrote a ray tracing 3D game. It turns out ray tracing is pretty simple if you only have 8 columns of pixels. So it works. It's really you can explore the labyrinth. That's that. So the rest of the presentation, I'm going to try and show you how to make a more advanced game with graphics. So we have this. Oh, by the way, you can use circuit. You can do all this stuff I'm showing you with a variety of different devices. Not all of them are made by Adafruit. Of course, Adafruit started with this, so they have a head start. But CircuitPython actually runs on a lot of different devices. It doesn't necessarily come pre-installed on them. Sometimes you have to install it yourself, but pretty much anything that has a screen and buttons and runs CircuitPython, you will be able to make gains like this. I'm going to show you. Like this. So this is my collection of Sharpen, Focus. No Focus. So yeah, this is my collection of different game consoles. All of them run CircuitPython. Some of them are really nice. For instance, this is Pymoroni Pico system running the RP2040. This is aluminum. This machined aluminum. And you have like Space Invaders. And on the junkier side, for instance, this is the PyBatch by Adafruit. And this is one I made myself. And also the one I'm going to be showing you is the one I made recently. Those designs are open source. They're all published. And I hope to find someone who will be selling them as well. You can buy those Pew Pew devices online at mycarefabs.com. They cost $10 a piece. But I'm hoping I will be able to also find someone who will produce and sell those devices. This is also RP2040, and as you can see, it has nice large display. So we will be using this one. So how it works? As you saw previously, it mounts as a USB drive. And by default, it will execute this main.py file. And that file actually contains the menu that you see displayed here. So this menu program that lets you select from the files that are here is actually the main PY. However, if we create a code.py file, then it will get executed instead of main.py. We can see that we no longer have the menu. We can see the Python console. And because the file is empty, stabilized, because the file is empty, it's just code done running. If you have any exceptions, errors, you will also see them like this on the screen. So I will now open it, make the font a bit bigger. I think this, is this big enough? Okay. Sorry. Okay, we don't need this. And yeah, let's start coding. So we will need the stage library, which is the library I wrote for handling, basically it handles sprites and tiled maps. I will explain this as we go. And we will need the uGame module, which comes together with the stage module. On most devices, it's already included. That's actually a file that is different on every device because it initializes the display and it initializes the buttons. Because every device has the buttons on different pins connected differently and so on, there are differences between all those devices. I wanted something that will give a consistent interface to the user. So we have that. And we will need our level. It will be a stage. So the stage library is called stage because it gives you the stage object. And stage object is something that in game development usually is called the scene. So when you have a game, usually you have several scenes in it. The main menu at the beginning of the game may be one scene. A level that you play can be another scene. Then a high score screen at the end can be another scene. Basically, a scene is one part of the game that has a certain behaviors implemented in it. It's convenient to divide them into separate objects because often they have completely different behaviors. And the state object will require a display. And it will require the FPS that we want to use. And a short note on FPS. Normally, like hardcore gamers want to have like 200 FPS on their computers. On a screen like this, where you have 160 by 120 pixels, it doesn't make sense to have a lot of frames per second because the pixels are so big that in those 60 frames during the second, the image won't change at all because the object that is moving will still not leave the one pixel in which it is. So we will use 12. That's actually a nice value because it also matches a lot of music that exists. So your animations will be synchronized to music. So. And we will have a main loop. And in the main loop, we will need to wait to make sure that the time for our frame is coming, and then we will do some things. I don't know what yet. Let's save and see what happens. Nothing happened. Why? When in doubt, I will just I think there is something with USB on my computer, but let me start Python console. Okay, it's actually running. Oh, right. It's not outputting anything because we didn't do anything yet. That's a common mistake. Okay, so one thing we that is special about this console is that it has actual display. So we want to display actual graphics on it. And that means we need to draw the graphics. So I took the liberty of already preparing that. So we have a what's called a sprite sheet. And for stage is very limited. It only handles PNG images that are 16 colors. Each sprite is 16 by 16, and there are 16 sprites in a sprite sheet. And that's all fixed. It's this way because of then I could write very fast code to render this, because I can hard code everything this way. And also one problem with the microcontrollers, with gaming on microcontrollers is that, okay, we have 10 minutes. is that you have very little memory. And with 16 colors, you can fit 2 pixels in 1 byte. So that's pretty efficient. I hope I can at least display a sprite. So we want tiles. We want to load a bank from image. And fab.png. Let's see if that works. Yeah, nothing changed. And then we will want a player sprite, let's say. That's stage right. That will use the bank we just created. It will use the forced sprite from that sprite bank. And we will put it at 9 by 9. And then we need to define the layers. Layers are basically either a layer is either a sprite or a tile map. In this case, we will just put the player in there. And before, and then we can display it. I will display, I will render the whole screen. So render block renders a rectangle on the screen of the actual graphics that is calculated. And something's wrong. Okay, let me just look at my previous. Oh, it works. It took a moment to update. Yeah, my USB is misbehaving because I disconnected my laptop from the dock brutally in the morning. So we have a sprite displayed. So and now it's reloading because the computer decided to write something to the USB drive. That happens sometimes. The thing is, you can see the area that was pink on the image is actually transparent in here. That's a conscious decision. I didn't want to muck with, you know, transparency in the images because different formats treat that differently. And I just said, okay, this particular color, this hardcore pink one, exactly magenta, is going to be transparent, period. Okay, what else we can do? We should have a level for our level. So let's take this stage thing and make it a little bit more complex. So we will inherit from this. So that's stage. And we will need init, and we need to call the super init with the tiles, the 499. That's the same stuff we had in here. No. That's not it. Oh, with the display and FPS. Yeah, I wrote it, but I don't remember anymore. That's why you have to write documentation as you write the code, because otherwise you won't remember anymore. And then instead of doing level equals stage, we can do level equals level. Like this. And then we can put the player on the level. like this. Put this here. And it should work exactly the same as it was. It seems to do that. Now, let's have some map to display behind the sprite. So the way I like to do it right now, it's called the world because the word map is already taken in Python. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's going to be our the walls. This is 160 by 120, so you can roughly fit 10 by 8 sprite on it. However, we want to have two more because we will have edges of the map. We will have walls there. This way we don't have to check the coordinate every time we do anything. We will just have this. That's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's called the sentinel pattern. If you are into software patterns. Okay, so basically this is a tuple of strings. And then we can do for y line in enumerate self world for x tile in enumerate line, and we can populate our map. So if tile equals x, you want to put a wall here, and if it equals period, we want to do something else. Now we need the graphic for the time map. I'm running out of time here. 1 minute. Okay, I'm going to leave it. I can quickly show you the finished thing because I have it saved here. Well, finished, mostly finished. Looks like this. Now it's refreshing. Sorry. Okay, so you can see you have some animated sprites. You can walk around. You have obscurity also, but I didn't get it to get the dialogues. If you also, you know, get some dialogues and maybe some combat, you can have a role-playing game like that. That's it.